Dear brothers and sisters, all of us are filled with immense sorrow at the horrible tragedy of the killing of many people, including many children, in Newtown, Connecticut this past week. And we're deeply grieved by what has happened, and we really don't know what to do. It's almost as if we are overwhelmed by sorrow, and we feel that the only sentiment we can have in these days is immense sorrow. And sometimes we feel that we want to ask a question about God. How do we approach the mystery of the Lord in the face of this tremendous evil? It's difficult for us to comprehend everything that has happened and to understand how we can relate to God in these days. But we want to all have a response to this tragic evil that has happened in our midst. And I feel that in these days of tremendous sorrow and horror, we want to look more intensely at the life of Jesus Christ. You know, in several days we're going to be celebrating Christmas, and Christmas Day is to be a day of great joy for all the people. Even Scripture says that, and we feel that the whole world should rejoice at the birth of Jesus. But this Christmas is going to be unique, and it's almost as if we might feel guilty if we are joyful, because it seems that we would only be justified in these days with feeling sad and sorrowful at what has happened. How then can we be joyful in the face of so much evil and horror? But this Christmas, we should look seriously at the life of Jesus Christ. His life was one of great sorrow. As we come to Christmas, we will experience the great joy of Christmas, but if you look at his life from the beginning is one of great sorrow. He is born homeless. He has no place to lay his head. He is threatened by an evil King Herod who wants this baby Jesus dead. And this King Herod, this evil man, corrupted by his own sins, will order the killing of children in order to try to destroy Jesus. And Jesus is, in a sense, a political refugee. As Jesus gets older and he begins to teach about the good things of his Father in heaven and work miracles and forgive sinners and lead people to this friendship with God, many people reject him and mock him and betray him. It's as if the people of the world would collectively decide, we don't want Jesus in our world. We want him out of here. And then he comes to the cross and he dies a horrible death. When we look intensely at the life of Jesus and witness his sorrows, we have to remember what the Church says in the Creed. This Jesus is consubstantial with the Father. That means he is God himself. He has the very same nature as God and the very same nature as us. And therefore, in the face of suffering and evil, God is not far from us. It's not as if he has forgotten us, because Jesus, who is God and is a man, experienced the full weight of suffering and evil. We want to remember this, especially when we come to Christmas, that this Jesus enters deeply into the mystery of evil. Though he himself has no sin, he experiences the result of sin from other people. He experiences the great sorrow of what people will do to him and the great pain of the crucifixion and death. But then, as we look to the life of Jesus Christ, we come to the mystery of his holy resurrection, because we have to see Jesus in the context of all of his sorrows and in the glory of the resurrection. On Good Friday, it was as if the spirit of the world said that death is stronger than the life of Jesus. Jesus dies on the cross. But on Easter Sunday, God says the opposite is true. The life of Jesus Christ is stronger than the power of death. And therefore, in Jesus Christ, we have a real power that is stronger than evil and death. And this gives us hope. We have to remember this, that in Jesus Christ we have something that is far more powerful than all of the evils that we witnessed in Connecticut and the reality of death, something more powerful than death. We have eternal life in Jesus Christ. In him is the victory over evil. This gives us hope. Now, hope is something that's important. It's a good thing to live with hope. And we have different kinds of hope. We have some little hopes that we have that move us on, and then we have great big hopes. The little hopes that we have are things such as looking forward to some goodness. looking forward to a gift we might receive, or looking forward to a vacation or a visit from a friend. And when we have something we look forward to, it sort of lightens the burden of our present situation. We are looking beyond the present moment into what great gift awaits us. And these little hopes, they help us to move on in life. But Jesus, in his resurrection, he gives us a new hope, a great hope, one that transcends all the others, a hope that can never be disappointed by anything in this world. And that's the hope of eternal life in the kingdom of heaven, the resurrection of the dead, eternal life with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and all the angels and saints. This is our great hope. And so, in the face of this horrible evil in Connecticut, we put our great hope once again in Jesus Christ the Lord. We look forward to the victory of Jesus Christ over all evil, over the power of death. And so we go on. We go on knowing that if we follow the Lord Jesus, if we love him, obey his word, and trust in him, then at the end of the journey is goodness. At the end of the road is happiness, is love, is eternal friendship in heaven. And even if we have to experience the distress of many trials between here and the finish line of our life's journey, no matter how horrible they are, at the end, if I am one with Christ, is glory, is the awesome joy of eternal life in heaven. This is what we want, is this great hope in our hearts. It means that we can never give in to despair. You know, sometimes there are so many difficulties we face, and we can almost despair, thinking that we shall only experience failure in our life and disaster and problems, and life is very precarious, and we're just moving towards some disaster, ultimately towards death. But the hope of Jesus Christ and his resurrection teaches us that no, we're moving towards life. That's what's happening. And this is why we can truly rejoice in the Lord, because he gives us real hope. True and realistic hope that sustains us in the face of evil and sorrow. And this is a good way to respond to the tragedy of this evil, to move more deeply into the life of Jesus Christ. And this Christmas, really look at his life and put your hope in him. We also want to respond to this horror by doing something in our relationships with each other. And I feel that it's a good thing to move in the opposite direction of what unfolded in this tragedy. What unfolded in this tragedy was evil, violence, and a disrespectful life. And we want to move in the opposite direction. So in the face of sin, we want to move in the opposite of direction. Even if ourselves experience the sins of others against us, our response is to move into the opposite direction. Sometimes people, they respond to sin with more sin. We want to do the opposite. So in this tragedy, we saw manifest the power of evil. And so in our own lives, as our way to respond to this, is we want to move towards more goodness in our life, more obedience to the Ten Commandments of following the teachings of the gospel, of loving God and loving neighbor. In this evil tragedy, we saw unjust violence. And so we want to move in the opposite direction of that and be ever more serious peacemakers. You know, sometimes people think that to be a peacemaker you have to do something great for international relations, and that's important, but peace begins in our hearts and in our relationships to each other, one person at a time. Think about your current circumstance, your current life situation. Your family, your friends, your co-workers, all the people you interact with, even anonymously throughout your life. You want to be a peacemaker and not so easily quarrel and fight with others, to be ready to forgive others. Forgiveness is a good way to build up peace, especially in families and in marriages. We want to be gentle and kind. In this way, we're moving in the opposite direction of what we witnessed in that evil tragedy in Connecticut. There we saw a great disrespect for life. And so we want to move in the opposite direction of that and respect life from the first moment of conception until the last moment of natural death. We want to show great respect and reverence toward life, the lives of others, and also our own lives. Think about our own lives. Sometimes, in the face of great difficulties or failures, even ones by our own sins, we begin to look down upon ourselves, and we begin to think that either our life is no good or we have somehow ruined our life. No, we want to move in the opposite direction. We don't want to disrespect our life, but respect it. Our life is a gift from the Lord, and we exist because He loves us. And so no matter what happens in our life, we want to have a great respect for our own lives. And also, stay away from things that really directly and seriously hurt us, such as alcohol abuse or promiscuity or drug abuse. Always move in the direction to respect life and also the lives of others. There are many ways we can do this. Mothers and fathers respect the life of their unborn children by caring for them and making sure as best they can that they come into life. And in the family, we want to care for others, for children and for the elderly. Now, this takes a lot of time and effort, and many sacrifices are involved to care for children and for the elderly. But our motivation is to respect life. So when we're respecting life, welcoming it, and caring for life, we're moving in the opposite direction of that horrible evil we saw in Connecticut. Another good way, which is quite simple, by which we can respect life of others, is to pay attention to people when they talk to you. You know, sometimes in families, someone is talking to you and you're not paying attention. You've got your face glued to the television or to your cell phone or text messages or to the internet, and you're not paying attention to them. And think about that. You're giving more respect to an electronic piece of equipment that has no life in it than you are to the person in the room who has the life that God gave them, right there near to you. So something as simple as paying attention to someone when they talk to you is a way to respect the gift of their life. Another way is when we have disagreements with others or get into arguments or even over serious things, we don't want to write people off and reject them and ignore them. You know, sometimes it happens that people get in arguments over things, even petty things, then they won't talk to each other for years. This can happen in marriage. You know, a husband and wife can get in an argument. They can both be rather hot-headed people, and they get in arguments over this and over that, and then they end up hating each other. No, we've got to move in the opposite direction of respecting the life, of cherishing the life of the person that's there with us in our family, among our friends. And so, in these small ways, we are responding clearly and strongly to the terrible evil we witnessed in Connecticut, this terrible tragedy, which overwhelms us with sorrow. And our response makes us better people. And our response is not simply to be paralyzed by this evil, but we actually do something now, something in our present circumstance to make our world a better place, and simply in our local situation. The other night, our president, President Obama, gave what I believe was a very good speech when he spoke to the people in Connecticut. And I was very impressed by what he said to the gathered people in Newtown, Connecticut, in the building they were in. And I was very inspired by his words. It was almost as if he was preaching. And he quoted from the gospel, and the president referred to one of the passages from the Lord Jesus when Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to them." And our president was saying this in relation to the children who were killed in this horrible tragedy, and he even listed the names in a very moving way of these beloved children. And I thought about what the president said and how he brought up this teaching of Jesus, and the teaching of Jesus is very interesting when you think of it. The Lord Jesus Christ is telling us in his gospel that we will not go to heaven unless we become like little children. Why? Because he says that kingdom of heaven belongs to children. And he tells us that we have to become like little children in order to get to heaven. So we could also say, Jesus could say to us, if we don't become like those little children who died in Connecticut, we won't go to heaven. We won't make it. We'll be eternally lost. So a way for us to honor these children who died is by trying to live more like them, which is what the Son of God wants us to do. Jesus wants us to be like these little children. I've often thought about this teaching of Jesus and have asked, what is it about little children that will lead them and lead us, if we imitate them, to the kingdom of heaven? There are probably many things, but two things that stand out for me is that, first, they're very simple. They have a simple way about them. They simply rejoice at life. You know, they're simply happy to be alive. Even if they cry now and then or pout now and then, they rejoice to be alive. They really do. And this joy comes to them simply from being alive. They don't worry about the petty things that adults worry about. They don't worry about what people think of them, if people think they're smart enough or strong enough or good-looking enough or successful enough. They're just happy to exist. Even very poor children are happy to exist. They don't get involved in the petty nonsense that adults get involved in. They just rejoice at life. They're thankful for the gift of life, and they live this gratitude for life day in and day out. This is something we want to imitate as a way to honor those children who died. And these children are humble. They don't look down upon others. They don't compare themselves to others and try to say, oh, I'm better than this person, I'm better than that one, or you know, I'm more successful, or I'll be far better than them for the rest of my life. No, the children, the little children, if you've ever seen little children gathered together in families or, you know, in schools or things like that, they manifest a clear understanding of the truth that before God we are all equal in dignity. We're all equal. We're all brothers and sisters before the Lord. No one is better than anyone. And they manifest this day in and day out. And so we want to try to imitate these children as our way to honor those precious children who died. In this way, we're doing something positive. We're moving in the opposite direction of that horrible negative thing that happened in Connecticut. We're moving in a way that makes us better people and makes the world around us better and more joyful. And so, brothers and sisters, let us respond to the evils, all of the evils of this world, by becoming more deeply devoted to the life of Jesus Christ the Lord and by loving one another. In this way, our sorrow will help us to become greater people, and just might change the world. God bless you.